662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you shall get a load of it.
Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective member on this path as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. As always, what an awesome honor and a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through the radio broadcast and through media, you know, and share with y'all the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. And that's the gospel of the kingdom, you know, the greatest story that has ever been told. That's the original plan and idea and desire that God has for mankind, for the earth, and what his original intent and will and desire is for our lives here on earth. So, hey, listen, like I say, every time I come on this radio broadcast, it's an awesome honor and a privilege to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through the radio and share with y'all the love of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Hey, listen, it's always, sometimes I don't even have the words to say, you know, how honored I am that God would use me, you know, to share an end time message. Do you know that the Bible say this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation? Then the end gonna come. When the end gonna come, Arthur? I can't tell you what the day or the hour or the year, but the scriptures say when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation, then the end gonna come. That's why the devil hates that message. Boy, he don't mind you preaching all the other good news gospels that's in the word of God and everything. As long as you don't get to the main event. He don't mind you preaching the preliminaries. He don't mind you preaching, you know, the means to an end. As long as you don't get to the end. What's the end again, Arthur? This gospel of the kingdom. And boy, when that message is proclaimed, the Bible says this: when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understanding it not, boy, the wicked one, that's the devil, he coming immediately to rob that word out of your life. That's why, you know, sometimes I broadcast. Well, actually, not sometimes. I broadcast it an hour. Sometimes we do a little Facebook live thing, and it's an hour. And I know people that extend people attention span is not that long, you know, and they normally just like to hear something, you know, for a few minutes, and then they move on. Well, that's what the devil gonna use, you know, against you, as far as boy you hearing this message. Like I say, the last thing he ever wants you to come to the knowledge of is the gospel of the kingdom. You don't mind you hearing the gospel, man, of Jesus Christ and all the things that Jesus Christ did, as we mentioned on his radio broadcast many times. You don't mind you're hearing that gospel. You don't mind you're preaching that gospel of who Jesus is, the Son of God, what he did, how he opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, raised the dead, caused the lame to walk, you know. Long as all the mighty works that he did, you know. As long as you don't never find out, boy, what he preached, what he said. But boy, that's the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. Because he's telling the greatest story that has ever been told. And it's not, you know, and it's a history. And it's not the history of man, it's his story. Whose story are they? God's story. The history of God, what God desired from the beginning, even before the foundation of the world. Do you know that God already decided before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love? When he decided that before the foundation of the world, what he decided that we should be just like him. That's what the word holy mean. Holy mean to be like God. The Bible say, be ye holy. Why? For the Lord your God is holy. So holiness is not in the apparel that you wear and all those things. Holiness is simply taking on the character and nature and righteousness of God. Do you know the fruit of righteousness is holiness? That's the fruit of righteousness. That's what righteousness will produce. What? Holy character. Pure integrity. That's like God. Holy nature. Holy living. Holy talking. Holy walking. Holy acting. Holy thinking. What do you mean, Arthur, holy this? Just like God. Thinking just like God. Talking just like God. Acting just like God. Living just like God. Why? Because that's how he created us. That was his original intent. He said it, and it's our foundation scripture to this ministry, you know. And God said, Genesis chapter 1:26. I always mention this scripture, you know. And God said, who said, Arthur? God said. This is his story here. This is before there was any prophets or apostles or evangelists or pastors or teachers or religions or Christians or Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or Scientologists or all those different men, even the pagan holiday or religions too, before any of all that world, boy, I'm talking about when there was just God and his only begotten son. And boy, God began to speak. First thing he did was thought about what he wanted, his precept. It was his idea, his original idea. And he said, I want me a whole family of sons, just like my only begotten son. My only begotten son pleased me so much, and I love him so much, and he loved me so much till I want me a whole bunch of them, just like Jesus, just like him. And that's what inspired God to create you and I, you know, his only begotten son. And I'm talking about, boy, so he decided this before the foundation of the world. First thing he do is decide what he wants. And then after he decide what he wants, then he decide what he wanted made from. And then after he decide what he want and what he wanted made from, then he speak what he want. And he speak what he want to what he wanted made from. And what he wants comes from what he wanted made from, exactly what he said. When he wanted the animals, he spoke to the earth. He said, let the earth bring forth every living creature. When he wanted the plants, he spoke to the earth. When he wanted the fish, he spoke to the water and dirt. When he wanted the stars, he spoke to the gases, to the firmament. When he wanted you and I, he spoke to himself. Remember the principle of creation? He decide what he wants. Then he speak what he wants to what he wanted made from. And what he wants comes from what he wanted made from, exactly what he said. So he spoke to himself when he wanted us. And from himself came you and I, a masterpiece. What's that, Arthur? A piece of the master, an offspring of God, a that which springs off from God. Sons of God. And then when the Bible says sons of God, hey, listen, they're not talking about male men. They're talking about offsprings, male and female. We are all sons of God. Some of us are in male bodies, and some of us are in female bodies. but we are all sons of God and offsprings of God and come from God. And what God desire is and what God intent is and what God want is, boy, he want us to be just like him. Let me tell you something, boy. Our Father in heaven, he's not a prime minister. He's not a president. He's not a prophet. He's not a pope. He's not a bishop. He's not a pastor. He's not a teacher. He's not an evangelist. He's not none of all those things and none of those titles that we all come up under. He's a king. What he is, Arthur? He's a king. What? Say that again, Arthur. He's a king. Glory to God. He's a ruler. He rules over everything. Everything. The whole creation is his. Everything. The universe, the heaven, everything. Everything. Everything is his by reason of creation. And he's the king. He's the ruler over everything. He's the Lord. Lord means owner. King means ruler. He's the ruler because he's the owner of everything. He owns everything. All of us belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world. The word world is the arrangement, a pattern of operation, or the system, or the governing influence that operates in this earth. You know, it all that's his. What? The world. What world are you talking about, Arthur? You're talking about the world that he created. It's in your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We were starting to quote it a few minutes ago. What that is, that's the world that he created. That's the arrangement that he set up on the earth. That's the system and pattern of operation and governing and influence that he set up on the earth. He set up a world on the earth. In your Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, that's the world of God. It's called the kingdom of light. They call it, what it is called, they call it the kingdom of his dear son. It's called the kingdom of heaven. And he set that up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Who did that, Arthur? Our Father in heaven. Listen, this greatest story that I'm talking about and the greatest message that ever been preached, it's not about what we're doing for God. This is about what God has done for us and what God is doing for us and what God will continue to do for us. Many are the plans in our heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. And boy, when we get our plans in on his purpose, in order to do that, you got to first find out what his purpose is for your life. And then when you find out what his purpose is, then you get your plan, man, set up according to fulfill that purpose. If we're not careful, man, we'll get our plans together and our purpose together and our desire together, and we're trying to get God in on it. And that's not no bad thing. That's not no evil thing. You know, that's meaning well. And listen, you didn't hear me say this a lot on the broadcast. The devil's most successful tactic that he's going to use against us as believers is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. He don't ever want you. He don't mind you being preoccupied with the good things. What's the good things, Arthur? Boy, all the things that we could do for God through religion and rituals and ceremonies and everything. All the things that we're trying to do in order to appease God or to get in right standing with God or to make it to heaven and live forever and ever and ever. Listen, all those are, that's what we're trying to do for God. Trying to have a good church, trying to set up buildings, trying to set up ministry, trying to be a ministry, trying to win the lost, you know, to him. That's all those things that we are doing for God. And let me tell you something, those are good things. But I'm talking about something that's greater than that. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about, boy, what God is doing for us and what God has done for us and what God will continuously do for us. You know, the scripture says this, your eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard, nor has it entered into our hearts all the things that our Father has in store for us, all the things that our Father are doing for us, all the things that our Father has done for us, and all the things that our Father will continuously do for us. Our eyes ain't seen, and our ears ain't heard. It ain't even, like I said, it ain't even entered into our heart. Boy, all those things that God has in store for you and I. And I'm talking about the things that he has in store for you and I. Well, no, that's forever and ever and ever and ever. And here's the good news. See, religion will prepare you for that in the future, for a future kingdom. And yes, there is a future fulfillment of his kingdom when his whole kingdom is manifested on the earth and the earth is filled with his glory. But I'm talking about, boy, the present kingdom. The kingdom that comes as lives, man, not so much as on the earth first, but lives in the earth. Jesus said, made this statement. He said, some people say, where is the kingdom? Is it over here? Is it over there? You say, the kingdom don't come with observation. The kingdom is within you. The first statement he made was, it's among you now. It's very close to you now. It's near you now. That's what I came to bring. I came to bring back something that you lost in Adam. What we lost in Adam? We lost the kingdom. What's a kingdom? A kingdom is a territory over which a king, that's you and I, have power, control, and influence. What's a kingdom? A king's domain, or the domain of a king, or the territory over which a king had power, control, and influence. Now remember what God said? Let's make mankind just like us, in our image, in our likeness, and let them have kingship. Let them have dominion. Let them have power and control and influence. Over what? Over all the things that he made from the earth. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Over all the earth. And then the Bible say, so God created. First thing he did was decided what he wanted. And then after he decided what he wanted, then he spoke what he wanted. And when he spoke what he wanted, baby, it's a done deal. Even if it hadn't manifested in the fulfillment of it yet in your life, it's still a done deal. Boy, that's how powerful the word of God is. You can't alter it. You can't change it. You can't stop it from going to pass. If he spoke it, he's going to do it. Yeah, listen, if he said it, it's coming to pass. If it take him 1,000,000,000 years, he don't live in time. 1,000,000,000 years to him is like a second, like a moment of a second. Why? Because he don't live in time. And when you and I can make the transition, what transition is that? Even though we're in time and even though we're of this, in this world, but yet we're not of this world. What world are you talking about, boy? This world that has been set up on the earth that you and I live in now. Do you know that, boy, this world that's on the earth today, or this pattern of operation, or this system of operation that we live in here on the earth today? You know the Bible called that the kingdom of darkness. Listen, they got two worlds on this one earth. Say that again, Arthur. You got two patterns of operation, two systems, two governing influences on this earth. One is set up by God, called the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of his dear son, and the kingdom of heaven. And one is set up by the devil, called the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of ignorance, the kingdom of not knowing who God is and who we are and what God is doing. And listen, the kingdom that God set up, the kingdom of life and knowledge and understanding and wisdom, man, and fulfillment of life and purpose and destiny, God set that up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And boy, then he came down to this earth and he formed a body from this earth and he released you and I in that body and told us to be fruitful. First, he's saying God blessed them. That means empowered us, put on the inside of us the potential, all the potential that we have need of, to fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. That's what that word there mean in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It's saying God blessed them. Listen, it didn't say God gonna bless them. What did it say to Arthur? And God blessed them. Listen to what chapter 1 verse 27 said. After God say, let's make man in our image, let's create man in our image and let them. And the Bible say, so God created. First he say, let's create him. Then he spoke. Then the next verse says, so God created, that's past tense, man in his image. In his image created he them, that's past tense. Male and female created he them. Then the Bible said God blessed them. He empowered them. He released on the inside of him his ability, his power, his might. It's known in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He put on the inside of us, boy, I'm talking about the connection, man, from that John, boy, us up with our Father. So that connection that we had, boy, that we were one with him, man, even before the creation of the world, that connection was maintained. How, Arthur? By the power of the Holy Spirit. God put he come and live, boy. Not only did he come and form a body from the earth for us to live in and place us here on this earth so that we could dominate this earth and set up kingdom on this earth, and this is our territory. What's a kingdom? A territory over which a king has power, control, and influence. Who God made the earth for? He made the earth for us. Why? Because he wants to extend his governing influence, his ruling authority, his kingship from his domain, heaven, the unseen realm, to our he made for you and I. For what purpose, Arthur? So that earth, our territory that he gave, that he created for you and I, can be a colony of heaven. What you mean a colony of heaven? So that the same thing that's going on in heaven may be going on this earth. That's God's original intent. God's original intent is not for you, the man, you know, to try to live the best you can, man, and then make it to heaven and then go live with him forever and ever and ever in heaven. Listen, that's not what he wants. That's what religion is doing. That's what church is doing, preparing us for the kingdom. Preparing us, man, you know, for heaven. Man, when all the time, boy, God loved the world that he set up on this earth so much, boy, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, man, to bring that kingdom back, to bring that world back, to bring that pattern of operation back. He loved that arrangement so much that he set up. He loved that world so much that he set up. He loved that kingdom in that atmosphere, in that environment that he created for you and I to live in, boy, that little Garden of Eden, that little carbon copy of heaven, and what he had going on in that place, boy, before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they was walking and talking and communing and fellowshipping with God 24/365. Boy, I'm talking about, man, unbroken fellowship. No rebellion, no sin, and I'm talking about they were on their way. On their way out to what? To the finish line. What's the finish line? Hey, subduing the earth, ruling and reigning over the earth, colonizing earth with heaven, making it, extending and establishing the governing influence of God's territory, heaven, to our territory, the earth. Let me cut to the chase. Oh, God desires that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. God wants earth to be a colony of heaven. That's always been his purpose, and that ain't never going to change. His plans in accomplishing that changes. But his purpose, never going to change. His desire, his original intent, he never going to change that. The Bible say, boy, in the book of Proverbs, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. Well, I'm telling you, boy, his purpose is going to prevail. And when you find out what his purpose is, and then you get in on his purpose and then start making your plans according to his purpose and his desire and his intent for your life, then we can begin to live life to the fullest. What you mean, Arthur, living life to the fullest? Well, we come out of this wilderness experience where we're saved, just like the children of Israel. They were saved. They were delivered out of Egypt, just like you and I. We've been delivered out of sin and translated out of the kingdom, out of the devil's hand and his authority, and his power and his control and his influence over our life, over into, boy, the kingdom of God, dear son. Same way the children of Israel were. They were delivered from Egypt. That's a type of the world system. And from Pharaohs. That's a type of the devil. For what purpose, Arthur? So they could go, man, come out into the wilderness, worship God, repent. What you mean repent? It don't mean go down to the altar and confess all your faults and mistakes and tell God how sorry you are. That's remorse. Repent means to change your whole way of seeing things, your whole way of thinking, your whole way of living, your whole way of talking, your whole perspective, your whole ideology, everything. Why, Arthur? Because, boy, what you've been born and trained and conditioned to think like is totally different from what you were created to think like and live like and be like. We living in a fallen state, man, where we live according to the dictates of this world system that we were born in, that was set up, motivated, and influenced by the devil himself, the kingdom of darkness. Whenever you see the word darkness in the Bible, that means ignorance. The word ignorance means not knowing. That's why I say the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge, boy, of the gospel of the kingdom. Especially, listen, I don't know how good this is going to go. Especially, boy, leaders in the church. He'll preoccupy us, man, with preliminaries. Boy, at the expense of forfeiting the main event. You heard me say this on this broadcast many times, too, you know. Hey, the gospel of the kingdom, man, the whole Bible is about, man, like a pay-per-view fight, a heavyweight fight. You got preliminary bouts, man, you know, before the main event. And they be good bouts. They be good fights. Some of them be championship fights, too. And then you got the main event. Listen, after the first fight, man, the preliminary fight, the people don't go home. The second one, they don't go home. The third one, they don't go home. But, boy, After that third fight, then the main event come. And when the main event come, then the people don't stay there and wait. They go home then. It's all over with. Listen, all the other messages. What's the preliminary? All the messages that perhaps you've been preaching for the last 1,800 years. Because the gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom, has been lost in the graveyard of religion. And we've been preoccupied with the preliminary at the expense of forfeiting man getting to the main event. Remember I say, boy, I'm talking about the devil don't ever want you to find out, boy, about the main event and to come to the knowledge and understanding of that. The arrangement that God set up on the earth. What God said, you know. And listen, I'm not talking about what God said through the prophets and through Moses and through Abraham and through Jeremiah. All those are the preliminary vows. They are right, you know, like I say, the preliminary vows are good vows and they need it. But the purpose for the preliminary vows is to get us geared up, man, for the main event. What's the main event, boy? I'm talking about the heavyweight championship of the world. What the preliminary bouts for? To get you fight-oriented, to get you ready for the main event. What's all the messages, all the preliminary bouts that we've been preached, man? What's the preliminary bouts, Arthur, that we've been preached? The Bible says this, boy, from Adam, after the fall, all the way to Moses, and from Moses all the way to John the Baptist, the Bible say the law and the prophets have been preached. But now, the kingdom of heaven is being preached. What's the preliminary? All those messages that the man leaders been preaching. What message they been preaching? The law and the prophets. What's the law and the prophets, boy? God gave Moses some laws, man, and them laws that he gave to Moses, he gave that to a fallen people. He gave that man, listen, he gave that to a people who was put out of the Garden of Eden, who was separated from him, who was spiritually dead. And the Bible say, man, all the way from Moses to John the Baptist, the law and the prophets have been preached. But now, the kingdom of heaven is being preached. What's the law and the prophets? That's the preliminaries. What's the purpose for the preliminaries? To get you ready for the main event. What's the law and the prophets again? That's the preliminary bouts. They good messages. They get you ready. They even get you out of Egypt, man, and get you the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and get you saved. But if that's all you're dealing with, man, then all you're going to be doing is like the children of Israel were going around and around and around and around in circles, going around and around Mount Sinai, when all the time, right there, within their reach, at hand, was the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, in the wilderness, they were saved. And God took care of them. And God gave them food from heaven, manna from heaven, and water from a rock. But over in the promised land, man, they ain't had to wait on no water from a rock and no food for them to come down from heaven. Boy, the land was flowing in milk and honey. They could just go and pick, man, whatever they wanted to eat and live. Man, I'm talking about good eat, man. Holy living, man. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, man. I'm talking about it was a prosperous land. A land where they could produce in and be fruitful in and multiply in. And, man, subdue that land, like what God had told him, a type and shadow of the Garden of Eden back on earth, a type and shadow of the secret place of the Most High God, a type and shadow, boy, of the kingdom of heaven. And boy, I'm talking about they were in the preliminary bouts. As long as they stayed in the preliminary bouts and kept man maintaining and focusing on the preliminary bouts, then they were saved, but they died in the wilderness. My greatest desire, boy, in my generation, in my prayer, boy, is to lead God people, boy, out of this wilderness, over across the Jordan River, into our inheritance. What's our inheritance, Arthur? All of the kingdom of heaven that you lost in Adam has been restored back to you. What's our inheritance again? The Bible says, come. Who is this invitation to? To everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. What's the invitation? Come, all of you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? The kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. I told you God chose this before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love, unreprovable, in his sight, ruling and reigning forever and ever and ever. Watch this. In heaven. Watch this. In heaven on earth. Not the heaven where he lived at. That's his domain. That's his territory. You can't rule there. That's his territory. They ain't got but one king in heaven. That's he the only king over there. The only thing you can be up there in heaven is prince or princess. That's why he came down to the earth. Because he want us like him. He ain't no prince. He ain't no princess. He a king. If he created us just like him and we kings too, then we can't rule in his territory. We got to rule men in our own territory. So he created the earth for us. That's our territory. That's our kingdom. That's our domain. That's the territory over which he gave us power, control, and influence over. For what purpose, Arthur? To make it a corner of heaven, to rule and reign on it, to set up the governing influence of heaven on earth. And boy, then he did something too, boy. Not only did he create us in his image and blessed us and everything else, the Bible says he empowered us, boy, with everything that we have need of to accomplish that. What that is, Arthur, that we have need of to accomplish that? The Holy Spirit. He placed on the inside of man, Adam and Eve, boy, the Holy Spirit. That's the connector. That's the contact. That's the influencer. That's the one man who relate everything to us. Listen, how you going to rule and reign over territory, man, when you didn't lost contact, man, with the governing and influence of the territory? When you ain't in contact with the king over with the king of kings, with the Holy Spirit. If you're not being led, man, of the one that can lead us into the reality of all that it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Who is that, Arthur? That's the Holy Spirit. And boy, when mankind lost, boy, rebelled against God, then boy, the Holy Spirit left. And when he left, man, it's all over. You can't accomplish nothing, man. You can't do fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny without that blessing that God blessed you with. And God said God blessed them. What you mean? He placed on the inside of us, boy, the means to fulfill our God-given destiny, to lead us into the truth and all the things that God is doing, line up on line, precept up on precept, little by little by little, day by day by day, becoming, boy, who we already are, what, man? Offsprings of the Most High God, created in his image and in his likeness, and as we become in that, boy, it take us forever and ever 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 of doing that. Because, boy, you can't find him out. His ways are way past finding out. It take us, that's why he gave us everlasting life, because it take us forever to become like him, because he's steady becoming. He's steady becoming, boy, greater and greater and greater and greater. And just like he's steady becoming, man, greater and greater God that he is, man, and same thing with us. We becoming greater and greater little gods that we are. You know, the Bible say that we are living and dying like mere men when all the time we are little gods. When they say that in the scripture, it's a little g. We ain't God, but we little g. Little gods, just like him, in his image and likeness. Yet we dying like mere men and mere women. Why, Arthur? Because like I said earlier, boy, you got put out of the Garden of Eden, got put out of the presence of the Lord. You lost the Holy Spirit in Adam's rebellion, when Adam's disobedience, when Adam sinned or transgressed the known will of God. And when Adam did that, boy, I'm talking about he lost, boy, the main ingredient. Who is that, boy? The Holy Spirit. He lost the contact between heaven and earth. He lost the contact between God and mankind. And if you lose the contact between God and mankind, you lose the contact between heaven and earth, then how you going to fulfill your purpose and destiny? How you going to, man, you know, get the will of God established on the earth and you don't know what the will of God is? How you going to get, man, this thing accomplished, man, if you don't know, boy, what you're supposed to be accomplishing and everything else? Why? Because you lost, boy, the Holy Spirit. He left. He can't dwell in no unclean temple. So when Adam and them lost, boy, when Adam and them disobeyed God, then, boy, they lost two things. What they lost? They lost their kingdom. They lost their territory. They lost their earth. They lost their governing influence that God gave them over the earth. Why did God give them governing influence over the earth? So that they had the ability to make their own earth just like it is in heaven. What you need to do that? You need the governing influence of God to do that. What's the governing influence of God? How you get the governing influence of God? You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. There's not them things that Jesus did, them mighty works that Jesus did, but he never attributed none of that to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do all the things that I'm doing. Who doing that? He said, it's the Spirit that do the work through me. He said, the work that I do, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Powered by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. And then he tell the people, man, come follow me. Come be like me. Come act like me. Come learn of me. Come see what I see. Like I told you earlier, in time past, our Father spoke to us through the law and the prophet. But when Jesus Christ came, he came with no laws. He came with a government on his shoulder. He came with a governing system. He came with a ruling authority. He came with the governing influence of heaven. To bring that, watch this here, not to the earth, to bring that back to the earth. And to set that back up on the earth. And then to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness and teach us, boy, the function and principles of how that government work and how that system work, because that's lost. We living in darkness, ignorance. That's why I go and say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Oh, they know all about church protocol and how to, you know, and proper procedure on having good church and the proper procedure on doing this and how to conduct ourselves and through our rituals and our ceremonies and our traditions and everything else. But boy, what you know, and all, like I told you, those are good things. Those are preliminary about, as long as you, the devil don't mind you knowing all that, church protocol, as long as you don't know nothing about kingdom protocol. As long as you don't know the, you know the proper procedure on how to have good church and how to put on good programs and how to conduct ourselves in church and how to live, man, you know, Christian life. But I'm wondering, boy, do you know the proper procedure on how to live kingdom life, how the kingdom operate, the governing system that governs, the governing, the principles, the functioning principles of the kingdom, how to live, man, in the kingdom, how to act in the kingdom, how to be in kingdom life instead of civilian life and normal life, boy, but I'm talking about living kingdom life. What's that all the kingdom life? That's a chosen generation. Listen, that's not just a priesthood, a spiritual representative. Watch what the Bible say. A chosen generation, a peculiar people. Watch this. A royal priesthood. What kind of priesthood? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. What's a royal priesthood? That's a king and a priest. You're not careful. You just operate, man, through your priesthood because you don't know kingdom protocol. Because you ain't been preached the gospel of the kingdom. You've been preached the gospel of Jesus and the good news about Jesus and who he is and all that he did. But, boy, you ain't heard, boy, what he said. Because if you ever heard what he preached, then, boy, you'll come on out of Egypt. You'll come on through your wilderness experience, man. And you'll cross over the Jordan River into your inheritance, into that promised land, and you'll start living your life from there. And therein is the Father glorified, boy, that you live your life from there. Do you know the Bible says it gives the Father great pleasure to give us the kingdom? In other words, boy, it do the Father good, man, for you and I, man, to come on out of Egypt from being lost, this world system. Then come on out into the wilderness where we can learn how to worship him and fellowship with him and commune with him, where we can change our whole way of thinking, our whole way of seeing things, learn how to live in the kingdom, learn kingdom protocol, and then after learning that and the functioning principles on how to live and operate in the kingdom, then going on across the Jordan River on into our inheritance. What's our inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. You know why, boy, we make our way hard in such a hard way for a Christian, and man, we face all these trials and tribulation, and we don't see the mighty works of God and the mighty hand of God like we read about in the Bible, the works that Jesus did. You know why we don't see men, especially in the Western world over here? Because you're trying to see all that and trying to get all that and trying to do all that in the wilderness. That ain't in the wilderness. You can't do all that in the wilderness. The only thing you're going to do, boy, get water from rock and manna from heaven. And, boy, you're going to die in the wilderness. When all the time, boy, I'm talking about over in the promised land, boy, I'm on mighty works over there. In the promised land, boy, let me tell you something. They marched around the walls of Jericho, and, boy, the walls came tumbling down. What you mean, Lord? Let me tell you something, how great that was. You don't understand that. I'm talking about them walls. There's some scholars say walls were 20 feet high and 20 feet wide. Listen, if they just crumble down, man, you got a whole bunch of stones and everything else, man. So it's still going to be, man, they got to climb over mountains and every rocks that broke down and come tumbling down, man. Still going to have to climb way over there. No, it wasn't like that. It disintegrated. Them 20-foot tall walls and them 20-foot wide walls, man, I'm talking about, boy, when they walked around that thing 7 times and began to shout with the voice of triumph, man, I'm talking about, boy, these walls came tumbling down to dust, but they just walked on over in there, man. They ain't climb over no rocks or nothing, boy. They got, but that is, that's the mighty hand of God, the mighty works of God. You know what the Bible say? The children of Israel saw, boy, Moses knew the ways of God, and because Moses knew the ways of God, then the children of Israel saw his acts. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw them 10 plagues. They saw all the things, boy, that I'm talking about was taking place and what was going on, man, over there, man. They saw all of that. But they saw all of that because Moses knew God. Moses knew the ways of God. And the children saw his acts. Boy, in that day and time, man, let me tell you something, boy. Meanwhile, the children ain't seeing his acts. Because, boy, the Moses that in our day and time, the leaders in our day and time, our apostles, our prophets, our evangelists, our pastors, our teachers, our bishops, our popes, everything else, they don't know the ways of God. They don't know what God doing. They know of God, and they know about God, and they know about what God done in time past, but they don't know what God doing right now. What God doing right now, boy? God been finishing, man, what he started. What he started, boy, he started a family of sons on this earth, man, that were created in his image and likeness, man, and gave them a mandate, and that mandate was to work, what? Be fruitful, be productive, be successful, achieve your goals, and produce, what? Produce, be fruitful, produce. Take the seed of God's word and produce what it say. The seed of God's word say, boy, let me tell you something, by stripes, I'm healed. That don't just get you healed. That's just like having seed. The only way you can get that healed in our life, boy, you got to plant that seed. You got to plant that seed. You got to water that seed. You got to cultivate that seed. Just like any other thing, any other word. It all comes to us in seed form. But if you just walk around with a bag of seeds in your hand and quoting about the seeds and talking about the seeds and talking about how the seeds operating and everything else and know all about it, but if you don't never plant that seed in the ground, you'll never get no harvest. You'll never get no fruit. It must be planted. It must be applied. That's why I say you got to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom, the protocol of the kingdom. Not just church protocol, but the proper procedures, the proper way, man, to live and to act and to operate and to think and to walk and to talk, what, in the kingdom. And what kingdom, Arthur, boy? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Where, Arthur, boy? In the sweet by and by? No, he on the earth. That's why Jesus Christ taught. That's what he was saying. He was teaching us the functioning principles of the kingdom. He told them disciples this. He said, who do men say that I am? They say, you, and then let me just cut to the chase. They say, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're this prophet, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah. And then Jesus asked the disciples, and asked you and I, who do you say that I am? Some of you say, well, you know, you're the founder of a religious organization, the Christian. No, you ain't there. Peter got a revelation, man, from God, boy, and he said, hey, I found out who you are. God told me who you are. You are the Christ. You know what the word that Christ there means? You are a reigning king. You ain't just a king. You are a reigning king. You reign over everything. That's why he was reigning over all them circumstances, situations, and symptoms, men that confronted in his life. They brought the sick to him. He healed them. The Bible say all those that came to him, he healed them all. Why? Because, boy, he's ruling and controlling. What he doing, man? He having dominion and authority and power and influence. Over what, Arthur? Over every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom that confronted his life. And you know what he was saying? See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what he was doing. We know that. But you know what he was saying? That's what we missed out. He was saying, boy, as I am, so are you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The work that you see me doing, you can do too. The way that you see me operating, boy, this is how you were designed to operate. This is how you were created to operate. You see how I'm living, man? You see how I feel? You see how, man, I don't come unglued about nothing, man? You see how I rule and reign over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts my life here on this earth? Yeah, I ain't come to show you, man, look at me. I'm Jesus, man, and you a little bit under me. No, you see, I come to show you, boy, who you are. Some people say, yeah, that's the Son of God, man. That's why he did all that. Who you think you are? He created you just like him. Our Father created us to be just like Jesus. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth and the things that he was doing, he was showing us something. He was showing us how great he was. And he is great. He was showing us how great we are. And boy, this kingdom of darkness that we was born in and conditioned and trained to live like and act like and think like, man, you just think like mere men and mere women. When all the time, boy, you the express image, man, of Jesus Christ, who is the express image of the Father. You know your Bible say in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, you say, God said, he gave us gifts. What's the gifts, man? The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, man. For what purpose are they? For to perfect you. For what? To perfect us for what? For your ministry. For your work. What's your work ought to be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish, man, this earth. In other words, get back to your original assignment. God's original purpose. God's original destiny. God's original plan for our life. What that is, Arthur, to have good church on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever day we go, to have Bible studies and, man, try to live the best we can? No. To be who you really are. Who are we, Arthur, man? Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Baptists, Methodists? No. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hey, Lord. Say that again, man. Listen, you're more than just a mere man and a mere woman. You're more than just a human being. You, man, you are the offsprings of the Most High God. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are the offsprings of God. We are the sons of God. And listen to what the Bible says. And if we are sons, the Bible said this in Galatians. We are no longer servants. I hear people say all the time, well, I'm a servant of the Lord. No, man, that's all. No. That's what I'm talking about. We got to change, man, and repent. Change our way of thinking. You ain't no servant. Listen, who got more honor in the house or in the kingdom? The servants in the kingdom or the sons in the kingdom? There ain't nothing wrong with being a servant of the Lord. That's a good thing. But like I told you, man, that's the devil's most successful tactic against us, to preoccupy us with the good things, being a servant of the Lord. When all the time, man, you no longer a servant of the Lord. You a son of the Most High God. Which one is greater, the maid and the butler or the daughter and the son? Who had the more authority, man, in the house? Who the inheritance go to? The maid and the butler or to the daughter and the son? The Bible says we no longer servants but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. See, you don't know what you got. You don't know your inheritance. If somebody left you $1 million and you ain't know nothing about it, man, you could live and die, man, poor, broken, hungry. And all the time, man, you was a millionaire and didn't know. That's what this kingdom of darkness is, boy, keeping you from the knowledge, man, of what's really going on, who you really are, what we really can do, what we really have, where we really come from, why we really here, and where we really going to end up in. The devil don't ever want you to find out those things right there. Those are mankind's age-old questions, man. I'm talking about from ages all the way down through ages, man. The main old question, who are we? Some say we come from the Big Bang Theory. Some say you come from a monkey. No, that's the devil trying to make a monkey out of us. We ain't come from no monkey, man. We are the offsprings of the Most High God, man. We ain't come from no Big Bang Theory or from no monkey, man. We come from God. Hallelujah. We all spring from God. We come out of God. We a little piece of God. And let me tell you something. The same character, the same nature that God has on the inside of him is the same character, the same nature that you and I have on the inside of us. The same dominion, the same power, the same governing influence, the same authority, boy, the same Holy Ghost that God is, the same one living in the, who we are too. What happened, Arthur? You lost that in Adam. And you begin to grow up and born in and shaped in, man, a world of darkness. What's the world of darkness? Ignorance to who you really are. And you begin to live and die like mere men and mere women. When, like I said earlier, when all the time, boy, we are the sons and daughters, the offsprings of the Most High God. And listen, God, Bible said in the last days, the earth was going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our life, not our will. Like I say, many are the plans in our heart, and they're good plans and good will that we have. But, boy, you're going to filled with the knowledge of God's will for and we living in that generation, boy, I'm talking about where God is raising up an army of believers. That's rediscovering, boy, this gospel that's been hid in the graveyard of religion. I don't think I'd be stretching it if I say for the last 1,800 years. And we preach, man, you know, and men and women have preached, man, you know, good messages, but they've been preliminary bouts. They preach what the author they preach. They preach the law and the prophets. What was the law, boy? Hey, them Ten Commandments that God gave Moses and all the amendments that go to it through the Levitical laws and all those things like that, and the prophets. What was the law? Hey, this is how you ought to live. What? Till the Messiah get here. That's what Moses said. He gave him the law, the way to live. And what the prophet said, there's coming a Messiah. There's coming, boy, a reigning king. And, boy, that reigning king going to reestablish God's original plan and God's original purpose and God's original desire and intent for all mankind's life. He going to set that back up on the earth. He going to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness, man, through Calvary and all the work that he going to do on Calvary. He going to teach you, boy, about this other world that you don't have a clue about, that you've been blinded, but that the devil then hardened our hearts and blinded our eyes to by keeping us living in the kingdom of ignorance, the kingdom of darkness. Ignorance to what, Arthur? Darkness to what? To what God doing. What God doing, man? God extending, man, his ruling authority of heaven, man, to earth. What say that plain, Arthur? God, man, extending heaven to earth. How is he doing it, Arthur? Through his family of sons. You know, your Bible is about a king. All of the scriptures. It's about his kingdom. What that means? His territory over which he have power, control, and influence. It's also about, boy, his royal family. What this Bible is about is about a king. It's about God. And this God that he's about, this creator that we talk about, Elohim, Jehovah, all this, our Father in heaven, he a king. He a ruler. And he have a domain. He have a territory over which he rules and reigns over. And that territory is an unseen territory called the heaven. And what else is about? Not only about a king and his kingdom, which is heaven, but it's about his royal family, who originated in his kingdom, in heaven. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. Where you and I come from? Our Father. If we come from our Father and he's in heaven, then where you come from? You come from our Father, which art in heaven. So your original citizenship is in heaven. But God don't want you to stay there. That's his territory. That's his domain. So he created a domain and a territory for you. He created a kingdom for you. What's a kingdom again? A kingdom is a territory over which a king has power, control, and influence. What's his territory? Heaven. What's our territory? The earth. So what do you want, boy? This king that has a kingdom, that has a royal family, what the Bible is about? It's about, boy, how he expands his governing influence of heaven to our territory, the earth, through his royal family, his family of sons called mankind, you and I, through the governing influence of the Holy Ghost. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be in our territory just like it is in his territory. So that it might be on earth just like it is in him. That ought to be your prayer. Father, well, in fact, it is your prayer, but you need to understand what you're saying. But what you're saying in there, you know, our Father, which where? Which art in heaven. Then give him his prayer, praise him, give him worship. Hallowed be your name. Then when you make your petition, Father in heaven, who is holy and pure integrity, yeah, let your kingdom come back to the earth. And your will come back to the earth. Your will for our life. Like I say, many are the plans in our heart, but let your kingdom come back in our life. And let your will, and let us come back to the knowledge of your kingdom and your will for our lives. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be in our lives here on earth. How, Arthur? Just like it is in heaven. What, Arthur? Your first petition. Boy, Father, let your kingdom come back in our lives. Let your will for our lives come back to our lives. Why, Arthur? So that it might be in our lives. How, Arthur? Here on earth, just like it is in him. Then the next petition said this. Now, Father, give us on a daily basis everything that we have need of to accomplish this. As we look into our life, we see many things that are not pleasing in your life because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if any man say he's without sin, little John say, man, he's a liar and the truth ain't in it. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and not only forgive us, but cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So we say, Lord, no, while we're on this journey, becoming who we already are, we're going to fall short of the mark. We're going to miss it because, man, of the weakness of the flesh and everything else. But, Father, so forgive us of all our shortcomings, Father, while we're becoming holy and without blame, while we're walking out of darkness into the marvelous light, where we having our conscience sprinkled from a sin consciousness to a righteous consciousness, so that righteous consciousness could produce the fruit of righteousness, which is holy, pure integrity, living like you live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give us every day, boy, on a daily basis, boy, our daily bread, everything that we have need of, man, to accomplish your will and your desire, your plan, and your purpose for our life. What are you doing, Dean Arthur? Well, you seek it first. What? The kingdom of God. And if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you go after, boy, the kingdom of God, instead of, boy, religion, instead of, boy, trying your best to make it in, instead of climbing up on the rough side of the mountain, no, baby, in the kingdom of God, we ain't climbing up on no mountain. Man, we speaking to the mountain. What's the mountain? Any negative problem, any circumstance, any situation, boy, that comes against you to stop you from coming to the knowledge of the truth and reaching your maximum potential, boy, and your God-given purpose and destiny. Any obstacles, man, any giant, man, sometimes these circumstances, situations, symptoms are way bigger than us. But they ain't bigger than our God. Listen, religion, man, is way bigger than us, but it ain't bigger than our God. Racism, man, way bigger than us, but it ain't bigger than our God. Poverty and sickness and disease and cancer and some of these terminal diseases, way bigger than us. Giants, but they ain't bigger than our God.